Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. We are so glad you are with us this morning on this beautiful Mother's Day. So we want to, first of all, celebrate you mothers. Thank you for your dedication and the lives that you lead, especially, how many of you know godly mothers are a gift? And so I appreciate you godly mothers who are raising your children and grandchildren and teaching them the things of the Lord. And also, how many of you know spiritual mothers are a gift? So if you are pouring into children who are not your biological children, I appreciate the work that you are doing. It is so very important. So several things we want to make you aware of. First of all, Wednesday nights have been really good. We are doing a new series for the summer about reach and teach. And so if you've missed it, go back and watch it online. We've been talking about evangelism. What is it? Practical ways to do it. So it's been really, really good. And this coming Wednesday, we are going to do a prayer service that'll be out here with the adults and combined with our teenagers. They're coming. And so just to give you a little heads up, it is not a prayer meeting where we just come in, have music, and pray. Those are great too. But this is a led prayer service. So our prayer team is going to be walking us through a time of prayer together. It's a corporate event, so we would love all of you to join us if you're able to on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then our teens also have a revival coming up, so we encourage you to invite all young people. That is Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m., Saturday, May 27th at 6 p.m., That'll be in the youth sanctuary, so we definitely want teenagers to be there, but they're letting us old people come too. So anyone and everyone that's able, come and support the young people. They need to know that we are for them, that we care about them, and that we're going to set aside time to worship with them and pray for them and be a part of them seeking God. Amen. Pastor Jordan Ruland is a youth pastor in Zanesville. He will be here preaching those services. And then we've also asked him to preach Sunday morning for all of us. So he will be here the last Sunday in May as well. And then Vacation Bible School is coming up. We combine with the other churches here in town. And so that'll take place June 6th, 7th, and 8th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I believe this year they're having it at OLC. I'm looking for my youth pastors. I believe it's at the OLC church this year. There's a flyer in the back. You can get more details and see our youth pastors if you would like an application for that. And then my last announcement is we do have our Target coming up, which stands for Taking a Real God Experience to Town. How many know that we're not meant to stay within the church walls? So every summer, every other Wednesday, we go downtown Cary to the gazebo. We have some singing. We have the preaching of the word, but more importantly, we have people who are ready to talk to someone and lead them to Christ. And so we need all of you to be a part of that. We want you to be there, ready to pray with someone, to talk with someone, just to introduce yourself to someone, to offer them to sit with you, whatever God lays on your heart, and we want you to be a part of that. And so we are having a kickoff service on Saturday, May 20th at 5 p.m. here at the church. So bring your lawn chairs, and we're going to just let you know what Target's all about, kind of run through all the equipment, make sure everything's ready to go. There'll be hot dogs, so bring your kids. And that is May 20th right here at 5 p.m. And then we also have a video just to tell you a little bit more about Target and your role in it. And then Pastor Caleb is coming with our morning scripture.
Target, taking a real God experience to town. And this year, we want you. You may be asking yourself, what's my place at Target? Well, then this video is just for you.
Maybe sing a song.
Maybe you could help carry something.
Yep.
Plugging in microphones. Maybe you can help pick up trash.
Maybe you cook.
Maybe you need prayer.
Maybe you can greet people.
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, Target team. Yeah, if you can hear me right now, I'm talking to you.
Target season's upon us. It's where we take our real God experiences to town. And we need everybody. So if you can hear me, we need you in downtown Cary to participate in our Target services. Ephesians 1 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And that's a message that everyone needs to hear. And we have that opportunity to come downtown Cary every other Wednesday and spread the good news of Jesus Christ just like we're called to do. The word evangelize means spreading the Christian gospel through preaching or personal witness. And we have the opportunity to do both every other Wednesday night right downtown Cary. So whether you're serving, singing, preaching, standing on the sidewalk, or sitting in a chair or a bench, evangelize. We need you. The Lord needs you. So join us every other Wednesday, downtown Cary, at the gazebo, at 7 p.m. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Looking forward to Target. It's going to be a great year this year. And just those of you that's been to Target before, just know something. It's not just another year at Target. We have a goal this year, and that's to reach people and get people one to the kingdom of heaven. So that means we're going to have to do whatever it takes. So we're constantly brainstorming for things to do. So if you have a great idea and you want to help out in any way, shape, or form, come to Ryan. If it's any type of music, go to Sister Betty. You guys know our hospitality leader, Sister Tracy. and any of our leadership team, come to us, and we will direct you in the path you need to go for that. But this morning, I'd like to open up to you in a scripture out of Acts chapter 16. And I want to start in verse 25, and it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul, he called out in a loud voice, said, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" When I was looking at this scripture last night and thinking about it, I thought to myself, this is supposed to be a call to worship that I'm asked to do this morning. And I thought, you know, Paul and Silas, and we preached about this a few weeks ago, months ago probably, and I actually acted it out, right? I laid on the ground and I said, you know, imagine Paul and Silas. And I might have put some Caleb Ludwig version in on it, but I made it reachable for the teens. But I laid on the ground and I sat there and I'm like, so I'm Paul just laying here. And then Silas goes, "Hey, Paul." Paul's like, "What? I'm hurting right now. What do you want?" And Silas is just like, "Hey, Paul." "What, Silas? I told you, I don't feel good." "Yeah, but remember, what can wash away my sin?" And Paul's like, "Ugh, nothing but the blood of Jesus." And then Paul all of a sudden just sits up. And Silas, "What can make me whole again?" And sorry, but Paul said, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know, your praise in the mornings before we come, before the words brought forth in this place, doesn't have to be, let me tell you, if you have chains that you have upon you and things that you're struggling with, you can't break free just sitting in one spot singing a song because it feels good. Get out of your seat, raise your hands and worship Jesus today. This is not a correction. This is a revelation that God had given to me for us as our body. We need to start praising him so that the chains fall off.
Yeah.
It's a breakthrough season at Lighthouse PCG. It's time to roll with it, and I'm excited for what God's going to do. So this morning, we're going to pray over our morning tithes and offerings. The ways to give are posted. So let's get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you that you reveal yourself to us daily, Father. God, we thank you that you give us guidance and direction, Lord. We thank you that you answer every time we call. Now, Father, today, this morning, we ask that you bless this service, Father. We ask that you just be with us today. Take over. Take over every aspect of this day. Now, God, we ask that you bless this offering this morning, Father. Let every heart that gives understand that this goes to your kingdom and not of ours, but yours. We ask you just touch each and every heart today, God. Be with us in this service. Bless us today as we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Strong and his grace is free, and the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me.
Brother Jim and Sister Karen, they've asked for prayer this morning for their eyes. And if anyone else needs prayers, we're going to start with the eyes. I believe we serve a God who can heal, amen? And anything and everything that he's done in the past, he can do it again. So if you can pray and believe in the power of healing, feel free to come up and join them. And we serve a God who can change things today in a moment of time. He can heal and restore the bodies that he created.
Got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. But I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got God, the lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. And when I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul.
Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song.
Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much.
I'm nothing else
fit for a king,
except for a heart singing hallelujah,
His face shine upon you.
favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family, and your children.
the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Come on. Keep pressing in and worshiping him. Keep giving him praise this morning. He's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all that we can give him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Just thinking as we were singing that song, Let It Rain, that sometimes in the area we live in, because there's a lot of farm, we're a farming community, there's a lot of farming that takes place, we misunderstand the representation of rain. Because we know that if we get too much rain, then the farmers can't get out, work the ground, sow the seed, and then even after there's seed in the ground, if we're not careful, it can flood out that seed. And so sometimes we put a negative connotation on rain. But you have to understand that in Scripture, rain means blessing. It means blessing. And this morning as we were singing and praising God, we also moved into a place where we began to declare and ask and declare and ask and declare that the blessing of God fall upon us, that the favor of God be upon us and our lives and who we are, and understanding that when we're saying let it rain, we're asking the blessings of God to be poured out on us. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying that because I'm saying we want more money. Too many people have correlated blessing with money, and that's not what I'm talking about. See, those are just earthly things. The things that God blesses us with is peace. They are eternal gifts. Love. How many know that love isn't going to fade away? Even us Pentecostals will have a time where we stop talking in tongues because we'll be in heaven. But love will never fade away. Amen? Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness. These are the things that he gives us as blessings. Things that are poured out upon our lives from the goodness of his heart. And it just struck me this morning as we were singing, may his face turn towards us. Now, how many ever got that look from your parents? Today's Mother's Day. How many ever got that look from your mama? I know I have. You know what look I'm talking about. Where you don't necessarily want her face to turn towards you, right? Like, oh man, I am in trouble now. That's not what that's saying there. That's saying that his face turns towards you, that he is full of grace and mercy and love. That as his face turns towards you, he's looking upon you as a blessing unto him. That now because you're blessing him, because you're his child, and because he loves you so much, now he wants to in turn pour a blessing out upon you. And as we were praying, I love how the Holy Spirit works, because I don't ever know what the worship team is going to sing. They begin to sing that song, Gratitude, and that word was just in my spirit this morning, that we need to give God gratitude. We need to be so grateful for all that he has blessed us with. Sometimes our generation wants to focus on the negative and the problem and everything that's bad. But this morning, we need to be grateful for all of the blessings. Look, be grateful that you made it here this morning. Be grateful that you woke up this morning. Be grateful that your feet hit the floor this morning. Amen? We need to be grateful because we know that life comes from God. And he's pouring blessing out upon us. And sometimes we don't think it's enough. We don't think it's enough. I said thanks, but it doesn't feel like enough. Well, that's good. It shouldn't feel like enough because he has blessed you with an over and an abundance. But let me just share this with you. I had a man in my life that is a spiritual father to me, that a person that loves me and cares for me. And he went out and he did something that for me that I thought, this is too much. It was extravagant. And this is just an earthly thing. It was extravagant. He purchased something for me that I really didn't have need of, but it was nice. And when he did it, he bought me the top of the line. And I thought, that's not necessary. And I was thinking to myself as we're going through the process, because there was a fitting process that went in with that and all this stuff. And I don't want to get into the details, but I thought to myself, I could never repay this man for what he's doing in my life right now, let alone the monetary value of the thing that he's purchasing, but what he's also doing in our relationship right now. And he's willing to just give this to me. No strings attached, nothing. He just wanted to be a blessing in my life. And so after it was all said and done and we were back in the vehicle, the only thing I knew to do is his hand was there. I grabbed the top of his hand to get his attention, and I looked him in the eyes and I said, thank you. That's all I know what to say here. That's all I know what I can do here. But I just want to thank you, and I don't feel like that's enough. And he said, no, it is. It is. Because me understanding that you're not taking this for granted and that you have gratitude towards what is happening right now between us in our relationship is enough for me. And as a father figure in my life, he was expressing that and helping me understand that. And so the same thing is with God, is we could never repay God for what he's done for us. We could give our life 1,000 times over and it still would not equal the payment he gave for us. He knows that. He understands that. He understands that we cannot, anything that we have value, give to him enough. All he wants is to hear us say, thank you. And that in itself is enough. He receives that and understands, hey, there's a relationship here. There is a back and forth here that they love me and I love them. Oh man, do you understand that? That the creator of the universe wants to have such an intimate relationship with you that all you have to do is say thank you. And he feels that from your heart, and you feel from his heart the blessing of love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and righteousness making you right once again. So amazing. So as we're here this morning praising God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're just saying, thank you, God. We could never repay you, but thank you for turning your face towards us, for noticing me and seeing me. Come on, lift your hands once again. Let's give him praise. Thank him right now as they begin to sing this song again. Let's just thank God for what he's doing in our hearts and lives. We thank you, God. 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 We're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful.
Generation. Your family and your children and the children and the children go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
He is for you.
One more time.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we pray, let it be so. Let it be so. That your favor and your blessing would rest upon us. Every family, every person that's represented here, every life, Lord, let us walk in your blessing. Let us walk in your favor. Let us live in eternity right now as we look forward and rejoice in hope of the future, that we will be with you face to face and live with you the rest of eternity. Let us experience a taste of that eternity now in your precious gifts and in your blessings, Lord. And let us strive to walk in them and share them with others. Now, Father, you see those that are on our heart, those that we've been praying for diligently, that we've been bringing their name before the throne unto you, that we continuously, Lord, are seeking that God heal them, that God, you would save them and rescue them from the place that they're living in. And God, I thank you that you're hearing those prayers right now. We give you praise and we give you gratitude that you're hearing and you're moving despite what we see, despite what we hear right now, Lord. We know that you're moving, that you're doing a work. Holy Spirit, you're stirring inside of these hearts. And you're drawing them unto you, you're pulling them, you're tugging on their heart to come unto God, to receive Jesus. I thank you that revelation knowledge is coming to them, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is their Savior, and they just need to receive Him by faith. I thank you that that wisdom is coming for those that we're praying for. And God, we stand together right now in faith, thanking you for the harvest of souls that are coming in, not to build this church, not to build our own kingdom, but to build your kingdom, God, to add more people unto your family so that they can come and know you and understand how great you are. Now, Father, I just pray for strength. I thank you, Lord, for strength right now. I thank you for perseverance right now in our hearts and our minds to continue on. I thank you that during this time, as we begin to praise you, that you begin to restore and refresh and renew our hearts, that this week we will continue marching forward in your mighty name. And God, you see the situations around us that are taking place in the world and in the earth. Our trust and our faith is in you, God, for you know exactly what needs to be done. But we lift it up in prayer right now. We pray for the United States of America. God, help us to turn our face back towards you. God, help us to bless you. Help us to call upon the name of Jesus and profess the name of Jesus. Help your church to do that first and foremost. Forgive us for being lazy in this generation and turning our face away from you, God, and help your people to lead the way in this country of bringing people back to Jesus Christ. God, we pray for all the nations of the world. We pray for Cuba. We pray for Africa. We pray for Pakistan. We pray for the nations that we do ministry in, Lord. We pray for Brazil, those that we've been connected to, but we pray for every nation of the world, Lord, that you would stir up your people and they would reach the lost and dying and rescue them from an eternity of death and hell. But God, we also pray for your people and your nation, the nation of Israel. We see the turmoil that's going on right now. We see the fear, God. God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that you would bless them, you would keep them, and you would help them, Lord. For God, these are prayers that you first gave them, and now they've become ours also. And so we stand with your people right now. They would come and receive revelation knowledge that Jesus, you are the Messiah. And they would turn towards you. Be with this nation, Lord. Be with your people, God. I thank you for the mothers this day. We pray a special blessing upon them right now. That you would strengthen and encourage them in their busy lives and their hard work, Lord. Whatever season that they may be in, Lord, you see that their heart is still there to mother their children. Not only biological mothers, but we pray for stepmothers. We pray for spiritual mothers. We pray for women that were willing to stand in the gap and to cover children, to cover people, to raise them up right now. We pray for encouragement and strength in their lives. We thank you for blessing them. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands one more time as you're being seated and give him praise. Give him thanksgiving. Give him worship. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you just love to be in the presence of God? Being with the brothers and sisters of Christ. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's good. He's good. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. So I guess we got some special songs this morning, a song and a poem. So we're going to have them come and share that this morning. And then as they're getting ready, I do have an announcement. Come on, whoever's doing that. Huh? Okay. So I'm going to do my announcement while they're getting the plan ready or whatever. I love it when I don't have to deal with any of that stuff. I'm the pastor, but other people can do all that stuff. Amen. I know it's Mother's Day and we're celebrating women today. And we're going to get into that a little bit more, but I need to make this announcement because there's a timeline on this. So all you men, listen up really closely. I mentioned this last week, but there is a man camp that they're having for us men. It's a retreat place in Indiana that we can go away to and just hang out, have some fun, have some discussion as men do. And then at night, we're going to have church. And Sherlock Bally, Reverend Sherlock Bally, if you know him, he's an international speaker. He's going to be the one preaching those meetings. It's going to be a great time. Now listen, you can register later, but at the end of this week, you lose more money. You have to pay more, all right? So that's why I'm making you aware of this. It is August 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's just 3 days. You got plenty of time to prepare for it. And if you're available to go, I want to encourage you. I'm going to go. And if you need a ride or something like that, we can set all that up. But right now the cost is like $99 or like $100 basically. But the cost is going to go up from that after this week. They've actually extended that for us because the guy who heads this up came and did a men's conference for us in Ohio. And it was already past that time. And so he went and extended that for 2 weeks. So by the end of this week, if you want to go, please see me, and I'm going to try to remind you after service to come get one of these. I believe it's going to be a good time. And this is for younger men, too. You know, they got paintball, zip lining, axe throwing. So for some of us more seasoned guys, they got horseshoes and cornhole and fishing. But there's something for everybody, and most importantly, we're going to be able to fellowship together as men of God. We're going to hear the word of God, and we're going to be encouraged, and it's going to change your life. And so if you're interested in this in any way at all, please see me after church. I'm going to try to make another announcement at the end to come and grab these papers to register. But you have to mail it in because if you try to register online, they're already past that due date, so they're just going to cost you more, okay? But please make plans to go to that, because I believe it's going to be a good thing for us men. All right? Well, we're going to turn the service over to these ladies, and they're going to share with us this morning.
Into the mirror, what did I see but a little old lady peering back at me with bags and sags and wrinkles and wispy white hair? And I asked my reflection, how did you get there? You once were straight and vigorous, and now you're stooped and weak. when I tried so hard to keep up you from becoming an antique. I tried. My reflection's eyes winkled back as she solemnly replied, "You're looking at a gift wrap and not the jewel inside. A living gem and precious of unimaginable worth. Antique is true, the real you, the only you on earth." We can attest to that one. "The years that spoil your gift wrap with other things more cruel should purify and strengthen and polish up the jewel. On being kinder, wiser, more content, and more devout, then when your gift wraps strip away, your jewel will be set free to radiate God's glory through all eternity." This isn't a poem, it's a message. And I've kept it for 2 weeks, and I went to Betty, and I said, "I have this, and someone could really do this really good." And I said, "Do this, and do this, and do this." And she goes, "Why?" She said, "This is your message." So it's not a message. I said, "Well, how do I end this? It's a poem." He says, "This is your sermon, a mini sermon." And I thought, "Well, how can I tell it?" Well, you know.
I'm a talker.
The Lord said, "You're a talker. You don't stop. You have energy." And I do. I have energy. And I'm going all day. And I set it on for 2 weeks, and I couldn't sleep. I even climbed a tree and put the limbs down. My brother brought a saw, a little hand saw, and a big stick and a big ladder. So I went up and I did all the limbs on the tree. The neighbors left because I was too nervous. But on this message and this sermon, it says, "Where's the jewel at that's hidden in every woman? Not just mother, mother and woman." Okay. All right. So the jewel is in each one of you. What can you do for your kids? Is it to go do dishes? Is it to babysit? What do you do? Or do you just go at them all the time like I do? "I will not let them die in sin. I will not." And I said, "I will not say I'm sorry when I say, 'Are you right? Are you coming to church? What are you doing? You do everything else, and then you have nothing, and you're worried?'" And I said, "The jewel in us is what the Lord's got for each woman here that she can share. When I see all these young people up singing, it just, my heart just goes overflowing because they're in the church and they're just so beautiful. I just get bubbly inside because I think, this is real. Our children are real." And then it says, for the ones that are maybe not as busy as me, on this one it said, being kinder. Sometimes when we get ouchy, we're not really kind, or the little ones, you know, be kinder. The older ones, be wiser, more content, and more devout. There's always something we can do, older, young ones, but if we don't show the joy and compassion and do for them, even when you know, do they really appreciate it? That's not why you're doing it. You're doing it for love. So let the jewel in everybody's heart, these women that have all this caring and prayer, just pray harder. We need it.
Could tell a story. If my life would sing a song. If I have a testimony. If I have anything at all. No one else cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy is found. Oh, my joy, my joy. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven, and you were everything to me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy. I'm still in love. You're still enough for me. Still all I want. You're still my everything. I'm still. Still enough for me. Still all I want. You're still my everything. I'm still in love. You're still.
Us like Jesus loves us. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. I know teens have their class, and the kids have their Firehouse Kids this morning. I want them to go there and learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm appreciative of all of the kids we have in this church. And yeah. It means that we have a future. We do have a nursery for the babies that want to go there too. But it's important that we're investing into the next generation. And that's what really today is all about. It's a celebration of the people who have poured into us. Some of you, your mother's not with you anymore. Some of you, maybe never knew your mother. Some of you are mothers, some of you are not mothers. All of that's okay. Today is more about celebrating the fact that somebody has loved you, has cared for you, has given you something that matters. That's why you're here today. You need to know that. That's why you're here today. And so this morning, I do have a Mother's Day message, and I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And I know that this is preached a lot and dealt with a lot on Mother's Day. I don't know that I've ever done it. This might be the first time for me. But I want to look at this in possibly a different light when we finally get to that. And this morning, I want to begin to share some things that are on my heart as a pastor over this church, but as a pastor in this country. Things that are coming against the people of our country, this generation, not only this country, but every country in this generation. And let me just say this. There is an agenda, okay? There's an agenda in the world right now that is trying to downplay what gender we are. It's trying to make it seem like everybody's the same. And we know that the Bible says that there's no Jew, Greek, male or female, bond or free, in Christ we're all the same. Well, that's true. In Christ we're all the same. But he also said that in the beginning he made us in the image of God, both male and female. And so while there is the truth that we all become one in Christ, there's also a distinction between us. And that's how God made us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we have become such a society that is focused on visual things, how people look, image. We're so focused on image that we've forgotten what Sister Linda was reading about and the poem and speaking to you about this morning is the jewel that's on the inside. And because we've become so focused on the outside and the outward appearance, now we have confusion. And let me just give you some help this morning, okay? The people with the agenda, they shoot themselves in the foot with the language they use. Okay, they do. Because you hear this terminology, gender confusion. Well, let me tell you something. My Bible teaches me that God is not the author of confusion. And so if people are dealing with that, and I'm not making it like it's not a big deal, it is. People are dealing with this, and the church needs to come face to face with these issues and love people and help them. But our job is to then help them understand that that thing that's happening in you did not come from God. Because God is not the author of confusion. And if you need to figure out who you are, you can't run to this philosophy over here, or you can't run to this psychiatrist here, you can't run to this doctor here. You need to run to the Creator God, and He will help you because He's not the author of confusion. He will bring understanding and wisdom to your life. That's the message of the church in this hour. And that's why we need to promote things like Mother's Day. Not because we want to make people feel guilty that they're not a mother, or maybe make people feel guilty that they no longer have a mother, or make people feel guilty that maybe they've not been a good mother. Those are all lies from the pits of hell. Today is about celebrating what God has created in the earth. And He brought clarity in the midst of chaos. When there was nothingness in the beginning, and there was no form, and there was just void. There was chaos. God spoke something into existence and brought order. You following me this morning? And that's what He wants to do now. He wants to bring order. He wants to bring clarity. And He gives us those things in the Word of God. And so we're going to look here in Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm going to try to get through the whole chapter. That means that there's 31 verses that we're going to deal with this morning. And some of you that have been around the Lighthouse long enough, you're going, oh no. Buckle up, because Pastor can preach 2 hours on three verses and he's going to preach 31 verses this morning. So what are we going to do? Well, I was given permission to run a little long today. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to try my best to keep this concise, but I'm trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and help us understand some things that the Word of God teaches us that are vitally important. And so we're going to go down two parallels today. Well, three really. And starting in verse 1, we're going to begin to deal with the first one. And that is this. The Bible says, the words of King Lemuel. So it means that this is what he wrote. But then it says this, an oracle, or King James Version says a prophecy, that his mother taught him. You look that word up, it actually means a burden. Sometimes it's even translated a burden in the English language. So the original Hebrew word there can mean burden. It actually means this. It's the expectation. Listen to me, moms. It's the expectation that a mother put on her son. It's a burden, an expectation, a prophecy, an oracle that she spoke into his life, and the expectation was that you will carry this out because this is the word of God. Never ever shy away from putting an expectation on a person that you are imparting to. Whatever you call them doesn't matter. Son, daughter, nephew, niece, cousin, doesn't matter. If you are imparting into a person because you love them and you're giving them the word of God, never shy away from putting a burden on them or an expectation that when you speak forth the word and you know it's the word of God, that they will carry it out. And so here you have a mother. Now, some people believe this is Solomon. So I'm going to blow all your holinesses people philosophy this morning. If this is Solomon that wrote this passage, because it says the word of King Lemuel, which means for God, the king for God, the king of God, the king by God, the king for God. That's the king, right? That's why he's serving. He's serving for God. He is the king of God and serving God's people. And he says that this is my words that I've written in. Some historians believe it was Solomon that wrote this because he wrote most of the Proverbs anyway. And he's saying here that this was a burden or an oracle or a prophecy that my mother gave me. Who was his mother? Bathsheba. Oh, you mean that highfalutin woman who took her clothes off and took a bath in front of David and tempted him, caused him to sin? Now that's how we treat it sometimes, isn't it? We want to blame her. We want to blame her. David shouldn't have been looking where he was looking. David should have been out in war, that's right, and should have been minding his own business. So sometimes we don't give people a fair expression in the church. And then she was called by the king. And the king took advantage of her, and the king got her pregnant. And thankfully, he was a just man and a righteous man that followed Christ. And so he took care of Bathsheba, brought her in as a wife. And then she conceived again and she bore the son Solomon. Why are you saying all this, Pastor Joe? Because I don't care what your history is. That'll preach right there. Come on. I don't care what your history is. I don't care what the road that you've been down and what got you to where you are right now. You are a godly woman who should express the oracles and the prophecy of God, that you should put a burden on your children that says, hey, I have an expectation that you will live right for Jesus. And if they want to bring up your past, you say, hey, that ain't my past. It's been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Don't you remember that day I was baptized and they put me under the water? And when they brought me up, that dead man was put there in a watery grave and a new person was raised to life. That's not who I am.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Don't let the lies of the enemy deter you from imparting the word of God into your children and having an expectation that they will live it. I'm tired of our generation stealing that away from us. This free-range parenting doesn't work. It makes for good eggs that comes from chickens, and that's about it. Kids need a mom and a dad or someone to stand alongside of them. To say, this is right and that's wrong. Don't do that. And that's what happened here. So whoever this king is, whether we want to speculate it's Solomon or not, whoever he is, he's telling us here that yes, this is my word. It came from me, but it first came from my mama. And she told me what I was supposed to do as king. He wasn't directing his rule or anything like that. She wasn't some advisor. She was just imparting to him wisdom. And it says here, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Now, you might think, why is it repeating itself here? You have to understand the context, what we're reading here. It is poetry. This is a poem that was written, and it's actually an acrostic poem, which means that the first letter of every stanza starts with the letter of the alphabet. And so I'm not familiar with the old alphabet, but I can go A to Z in the English alphabet. What are we saying here? I'm saying to you here that this is an underlying message that when they wrote this poem, they were saying a woman who lives like this, who imparts to her children this way, she got everything covered from A to Z. She ain't missing anything. She ain't got to worry about missing anything, because she's going to cover it from A to Z. So it says this: do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what they has been decreed and prevent the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. What is she saying here? What is the prophecy declaring to us? First of all, that we should act right, that we should live right, that we shouldn't give ourselves to excesses. As men, we should not be running after every woman that comes along, that we should be pure and holy, that we shouldn't be going and partying and drinking and causing a ruckus, because when you are in leadership, when you are a king, you may forget what has been decreed and you may make a big mistake and you will hurt other people. Bottom line of those two stanzas right there, it's not even so much about her son as much it's about what you will do to others if you act that way. And we live in a generation that says, well, we should be carefree and we can live the way we want to live and do what we want to do, and you can't tell us what to do. Do you forget that everything you do has consequences, and not only for your own life, it's affecting the people around you? There's no sin that just affects the person that's partaking in it. It affects everyone around them. And this wise woman is imparting this word to her son and saying, don't do that. Stay away from that. Because you're going to hurt people if you do. And by the way, the hurting people that you come in contact with, this is what the next transition is. He begins to say, give strong drink to them who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. What is she saying here? She's telling him that, listen, you need to take care of people who are hurting. You need to take care of people who are being destroyed in their life. You need to be gracious and merciful towards them and give unto them some type of help. Once again, it's not about the king. It's about the people who he's serving. And it says this: open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. saying here that you should take up for those that are without. You should protect those that are weaker. You should be there for them. Once again, it's not about the king. It's about a wisdom being imparted by a mother that says, this is what you do. You care for others. This isn't a popular message in our generation. Especially the generation that says, it's all about me, look at me. We have things called the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod. We have something that's called a selfie and a selfie stick so we can take better selfies. I don't think that I'm preaching against Apple products and preaching against taking selfies. I'm just trying to get you to realize the context in which we live right now. Do you realize that everybody's got their own little reality TV show? It's called Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. YouTube. It's even called YouTube. Right? And in the midst of all of that, it's the job of God's people. Come on. To rise up and say, no, I will not make this life about me. I will not take what I have been given, any kind of authority I've been given, any kind of blessing I've been given, and only use it for me. But I have an oracle, which is the word of God, that came down from generation to generation to generation. You say, well, my parents didn't teach me that. No, they didn't, but there were generations of people who have been teaching it for centuries now, and they are imparting it to you right now, the word of God that says, no, we live for Jesus Christ, and we care about others. That's what life is about. Sometimes I think we look at this and we want to start in verse 10 because we think, well, that's the meat of where it's really talking about the virtuous woman and who the virtuous woman is. And we skip over the first 9 verses and we don't realize the importance of them and realize the wisdom that this virtuous woman was giving her son. Which means it's also being given to us. Just real quickly before we move on, I want you to think in context like this because it was a thought that came to me. How many know that when we're preaching things, we're relaying the word of God, we're trying to describe what the word says, but then we also have thoughts that we want to share. Now, this is not what the Bible says, but this is a thought that came to me because we have to understand the rule of repetition in Scripture, and when it repeats things and shows things, it means that there's a theme there in the verses. And that means that there might be an underlying message they're giving. And so I want to share this with you. This thought that I got while I was studying this is that many times the virtuous woman in Scripture represents the people of God. Not just a woman, that it's a godly woman. That's part of it. But it also represents the people of God. They were called the Israelites in the Old Testament. They're called the church in the New Testament. And so you have this depiction of a virtuous woman and what the virtuous woman does to her offspring at the beginning, the prophecy, the oracle, the burden that she puts upon her children, the expectation that she speaks forth the word of God and that they're going to rule this way, they're going to live this way, they're going to do these things. And I couldn't help but think to myself, the king is also a representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the coming king, right, which is Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture that said when the prophecies came forth about this son named Jesus that Mary gave birth to, the Bible says that she hid those things in her heart. And I wondered to myself, did she take that burden that was placed upon her son at birth, that this is the Messiah? Did she take that prophecy? Did she take that oracle? And did she share it with her son? I would think yes. I know that's speculation, but I would think yes. That because she hid these things in her heart, there became moments of time where she would say, Jesus, let me tell you about this. When you were born, There were people that showed up that said angels came. They were shepherds and they said angels. And she would lay all these things out. She said, when we went to the temple to have you dedicated, this happened and this prophecy came forth. She was imparting the word of God to him. No doubt she was reminding of him because she hid those things in her heart. What do we do as now the body of Christ, the church? We take the word of God. We hide it in our heart. So first of all, we don't sin against God, but so that we can know what the oracles of God have said. What is the prophecy of God? What is he spoken for? What is the word of God in us? And what is it supposed to do? We are therefore supposed to give it to others. Are you following me this morning? You see the parallel in this scripture? That this is not just about godly women, which it is. But I want you, as we begin to read through what the attributes of a virtuous woman are, I want you to begin to think about the church and how the church is supposed to live and what the church is supposed to do. That's why I told you this morning, I want you to take this passage and look at it from a different perspective this morning. All you men, all of a sudden you had to realize, oh, I am supposed to pay attention this morning. I thought he was going to get on my wife. No, listen to what he says here. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. Outward things, possessions, right? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now we know a virtuous woman will be a blessing. Who can find a precious woman? Who can find one that's more precious than jewels? I did. Thank you. Me and you found something good. Everybody else is trying to be quiet in here. But we know what we found. We found a good thing. That's what the Bible calls her. A good thing. I liked how Brother Patillo said it. He said, you know, us guys, we were made out of dirt. Women, they are made out of prime rib. I didn't say that. Pastor Patillo said it. I thought it was good. I stole it from him. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's what the Bible says. When God got done making man, he said, it is good. When he got done making woman, he said, it was very good. There's a difference. There's a difference. We should celebrate that difference. But who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a precious woman she's more precious than fine jewels? It is the guy who finds a woman who is faithful to God. Let me just deal with this. I know that all the teenage girls are out of here, but they need to hear your influence. That's another big word in our generation. So I'm preaching to you right now. Do you know that when I was in school, it got talked about some. I don't know how much is getting talked about now in school systems. But girls deal with it more than boys. Now, some boys do deal with it, but anorexia and bulimia. And it's all about the image of people. They're concerned about how they look. They think they're too fat. They think they're too this. They think they're too that. And because of the way our generation works, that has become increased. I don't know how much they're talking about it anymore, but there's so much stress, especially on women for some reason, that they're supposed to look a certain way, and if they don't look a certain way, then they're less valuable. What a lie. What a lie. That's ridiculous. That if you don't wear a certain size dress, you're less valuable? Yeah, it's laughter. That's stupid. Now, as guys, we can get as fat and as bald and as ugly as we want to. One of my pastors one time was counseling with a guy, and he was complaining that his wife put on 5 pounds. Now, this pastor, he's pretty blunt. I appreciate him for that. He looked at the guy and said, "You're complaining she put on 5 pounds after you put on 30 pounds? And she's supposed to be okay with your 30 pounds and you're upset she put on 5 pounds?" He said, "Get out of here. Come on, man." But it's the stress we put on women.
Yes, it is.
I don't know why we do it. It's not right. It's not right at all. And we put such an emphasis on how women look. We've forgotten about what's on inside of them. You begin to read this passage, you ain't going to see anything about how this woman looks. You don't see her dress size in there. You don't see her hair color, her eye color. You don't have, what is it, what's the measurements that women are supposed to have, darling? I don't know. The hourglass shape, you know it. 36, 24, 36. I knew somebody in here knew it. I knew somebody in here knew it. You see that in that passage? You're in trouble. That ain't in Proverbs 31. Is it? That ain't in there. 36, 24, 36. That's a virtuous, precious woman that who can find her. He's a lucky dude. No. Begins to talk about the attributes of her from the inside out. Now listen to me, moms and dads, especially you dads. Grandmas and grandpas, especially you grandpas. People, maybe aunts and uncles, people who have influence in kids' lives. Which is all of you, especially you men. Never, ever, ever make that the expectation. That's not the burden that this mama put on her son. That's not the oracle. That's not the prophecy that she declared. It wasn't that you need to go find yourself a woman that looks really, really good. No. Truth be told, that was Solomon's downfall. That's what pulled his heart away from God. Begin to look on the outside of things. That's never, don't ever impart that to a young lady. Never. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Don't tell them they need to wear makeup. They don't need makeup. If they want to wear makeup, let them wear makeup if you're cool with that. But don't tell them they need it. Don't tell them they need to lose weight in certain areas. Mm-mm. Now, if there are health issues, then you go about it in that way and say, "Hey, look, we want you to be healthy. We need to deal with some health stuff, and we're going to get healthy." But don't you ever make it about their image. Don't tell them that their bust size is too small or too big. Don't tell them that their rear end size is too big or too small. Don't tell them they're too tall. Don't tell them they're too short. Don't say things like that to them. Why? Because there's already a loud, blaring voice in this generation telling them all of that already. And they need people of God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. They need people of God to stand up and see them for who they really are. That you are beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you're special. That God made you to impact this world. And it doesn't matter how tall, short, fat, skinny, what hair color you have, none of that matters. God put something on the inside of you that is a precious jewel. And when we begin to promote those things, then we degradate women and womanhood, and we fall into the very trap that we're dealing with now, that now people don't want to be women anymore. And they're confused because they feel like they're put down and they're objectified. Listen, men, women are not just around for your pleasure.
That's right. Amen.
God made a helpmeet for you. That's to come alongside of you, to assist you, to work with you. Let's just keep reading here and let's see if this sounds like some woman that's supposed to be submissive and barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen all the time. Let's see what the Bible says about this virtuous woman for a minute here. They keep declaring that the Bible is male chauvinistic and all of this stuff. They haven't read the Bible. They don't know what God said. This is what God said. Said that the heart of her husband trusted her and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like a ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. That doesn't sound like some woman who is pushed around and under the thumb of her husband and you can only do what I say. No, no, no. She sees something and she goes after it. She gets it. She makes it happen. Yes. Amen. That's what the Bible says. She sees a field and buys it. Why? Because her husband trusts her. He trusts in her ability to do things. He trusts in her knowledge. He trusts in her heart. He knows that she's not nothing but good for him. And therefore, if she's going to do it, it's going to be a blessing to their household. Amen. Not, well, you better not make a decision without me. I'm the man of the house. That's not what the Bible's saying here. Therefore, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So when it says that we're supposed to be submissive one to another and that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, it's not saying that he's a ruler or lord over her who he stomps on her all the time. No, no, no. It's saying that they work together. And here is proof of it, that the virtuous woman, she will be an attribute to her husband, and her husband will be an attribute to her, that they work together. If you can tell, I'm a little fired up about this stuff, because I'm tired of these lies spreading throughout the earth. This is what God has ordained. This is what God has said. She begins to do these things. She dresses herself with strength, not with the latest fashion, not trying to show everything off that she can show off without actually showing everything off. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Women's work is never done, is what they say. I forget the first part of it. Yeah. Man's work's from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Thank you. He's not in trouble for what he remembered. She dresses herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. What does that mean? A double layer. Not about how cool they look, about that they're going to be warm. I'm not afraid. Come on, snow. Come on, rain. Come on, bad weather. It's okay, because I've worked diligently to take care of my family. Come on, troubles. Come on, trials. I know whom I serve. I know who my faith is in. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can bring it on. It doesn't matter, because I know my family is going to make it, because I've been on my face before the Lord praying for them. They're covered in prayer. They're taken care of. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing, fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Listen to that. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come.
That means she doesn't fear the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Now get verse 30. Charm is deceitful. You got someone trying to charm you, look out. They're lying to you. They're covering something up. They're hiding something. And beauty is vain. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now listen to this. The Bible says us to behold God and the beauty or the splendor of His holiness. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then the people of God's eye should be upon God in the splendor and the beauty of His holiness. And as we see God in the beauty of His holiness, we see one another in the same fashion of being holy. The whole image thing has been perverted. Let me just deal with it. And I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm just following the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm following the leading of the Spirit. The whole image of people has been perverted by humanism, by different philosophies and ideas that have been propagated in the earth. It's been perverted. You understand and realize that God is the original author of our image. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. And as people have perverted that by listening to the lies that have been spewed out in the earth, it is taken away from the Word of God, and the kingdom of darkness advances when people stop believing in the Word of God. That's the whole trick here, guys. It's not about men versus women and all this stuff that, all of these competitions that people put out there, all this stuff. It's about making the Word of God null and void. That's what it's about. That's what the agenda, the underlying whole idea is. Where they're trying to make the Word of God a lie, but they can't. Because everything they do, everything they try, they just screw it all up. It gets all messed up. People are not content. People are not happy. They're miserable, and they still don't know who they are. So this whole image thing and everything that gets perverted about the image and why girls think they're supposed to look this certain way, and it's perverted, is it is the work of the kingdom of darkness. It comes from hell itself, and it's time that the church rise up and say, no, I will not tolerate that anymore. This is not okay. You're lying to my children. You're lying to this generation. And we will not follow this lie any longer. Beauty is vain. I hear my wife complaining about it all the time as she gets older. She says that she's got these wrinkles on her face and she, all this stuff. She's got all these different things that she's tried. And she buys when it's on sale because she don't want to pay full price for it. And the other day she showed me a picture when she was younger. She said, look at that young girl. It was her. Now listen, I didn't do this for brownie points. Okay? It's not why I did it. I did it because I'm tired of the devil lying to this generation. And I meant what I said. I said, well, darling, I see the same girl that's sitting beside me right now. Didn't I say that? And you went, whatever. Now, she can think what she wants to think, but I'm telling you right now, I see the same girl I married. I think she's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm glad that we get to grow old together. And if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. Because it isn't about how she may look. I see her heart. I've seen the intimate details of her heart. And it caused me to love her more and more and more. Because she's a virtuous woman. She's a godly woman. And she'll tell this boy to straighten up when I'm not doing right. And I appreciate that. And she's made room for me to go, hey, quit your whining, complaining, and being all emotional. Haven't we? We call each other out on our stuff. We say we are people of God. We ain't going to act that way. Because we're each other's helpmeet. We work together in this life. That's the whole point of this. And let me finish this so I can get to my next part and we can close and go celebrate Mother's Day with eating food. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. Do you understand what that means? That in society, in the gates, people praise her, for they see the impact that she's had. I'm so grateful my mom is here. She's worked for many years here at the church. She's had to deal with 3 Turner pastors. First one was her father-in-law. Second one was her husband. And the third one is her son. She's worked diligently. And I've seen her demonstrate the fear of the Lord. She taught me the fear of the Lord. She taught me, hey, you be more concerned about the way you're living. And she told me this, that first part, they could put, instead of Lemuel, you could put Joe in there. Won't you be chasing ungodly women? Won't you be going getting drunk? You take care of people. When they're down and out, you help them. If they are in need, you drop everything and you go to. She didn't just teach me these things with her words. She demonstrated them. There were times where people came into our home that she took in because they needed help. She lived holy and righteous before me. I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. She didn't go run around on my daddy. She lived right. She wasn't out partying and boozing it up and doing a bunch of terrible things. She was at home, taking care of the family. That's where she was. She prospered that, and I'll tell you what, she could cook. And when I would invite all my football buddies over at a moment's notice and told her when we were walking in the door that 5 boys who all play football and are pretty much livestock at this point of their lives are staying for supper, she fed them. There was more than once that she'd walk over that stove and she'd say, God, you see what's here and you see who I have to feed. Now increase it right now. And every time she prayed that prayer, there'd be leftovers. That's the truth. Because God would increase it. So I saw this displayed before me. I'm so thankful for my mother. I'm so thankful for the church moms I had. I think about your mom as a church mom that's been here, was here for years and years and years. Yep, Brother Don's mom too. She was a mother of this church. And she was bold enough to stand up and say some things sometimes that nobody else would say, even some men in the church. There were times that things going on in the middle of service and she'd say, you know, I don't think that's right. Because she was a church mother. And she cared for this church. You're here today because of people like her. So all this is true and all this is well, and we need to understand that, okay? This church exists because of people like her. Sister Hensley, Sister Dibble. Think about Sister Lucy Kraft. I think about the Sister Marshalls that were here. The people who taught Sunday school, the Sister Reisners that were here. That did all that, and many of you have no clue who I'm even talking about. But this church is here today and exists today because they held the standard and they kept it going. And many times, when their husbands wouldn't even come to church with them, they came to church and they kept the church doors open. They worked it, they cleaned it, they made it the repairs they needed to make. We're here today because of women like that, and we honor them. But as I close, I want to shift for a minute. Like I already said to you, many times in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, because it's types and shadows of things. It correlates to the people of God. And I want you to think for a minute the attributes that are listed here in Proverbs 31. Aren't they the attributes of the church? Isn't this what the church is supposed to do? Shouldn't our husband, Jesus Christ, be praised in the gates because of how we look and what we do? Shouldn't we take care of the people that are down and out? Shouldn't we afford an opportunity for them and love them and give to them? Think about these things. This is not just an outline for you ladies of how to live your life. This is also an outline for how the church is supposed to look, what the church is supposed to do. Charm is deceitful, church. I'm just going to say it to you like this. There's a lot of snake charmers that we got in the church world today. They can play a pretty tune and get the snake to dance how they want it to. But at the end of the day, they're not accomplishing anything.
Amen.
As your pastor, when we come together, I don't want a show. I don't want that. I don't want a bunch of emotionalism. And sometimes I think people think that because we get excited and the music gets louder and gets louder. It's because we're thinking about what we were just singing. And yeah, we're repeating it because we're thinking about it. And every time we sing it again, we think, man, God is good. Hallelujah. Wow, He did that for oh, glory be. It excites us. So something rises up inside of us. It's not that we're trying to pump people up just for an emotional thing and feel good about ourselves. No, it is the presence of God that stirs within us. So I don't care about charming people. You should know that by now how I talk sometimes. I'm just real blunt. And I'm not trying to make everything look pretty. Now, we do our best. We do everything in excellence. That's one of our core values. But excellence just means giving your all, giving your best to God. Because beauty will fade away. I'm so thankful for this nice facility we have. But guess what? If we don't keep it up, it will fall apart and not be pretty anymore. The church ain't about that stuff. It's about fearing the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to begin to impart into the world again that we are a virtuous church that is holy because God is holy and He has made us holy. And we live for Him and we honor Him and we declare His words. And the work of our hands are busy about His business to promote Him, to uplift Him. We want His name declared in the gates of our city. We want the name of Jesus being spread across Cary, Ohio, Wyandotte County, into the Northwest Ohio region. We want Ohio for Jesus. We want the United States of America for Jesus. We want the world for Jesus. We want this to ring out. Songs of praise that we are the bride of Christ. And in the beauty of His holiness, the splendor of His holiness, we magnify Him. Not people that are seeing us, but they're seeing the image of Christ through us. See, that's what this is saying. That's what this is alluding to. That a virtuous woman is actually a blessing to her husband, a promotion to her husband, a looking and saying, wow, look how wonderful this man must be. Now, we know that for us, that's not the truth. We married up, okay? We know that. And we just thank God for the blessings of God that He blinded our wives' eyes.
Amen.
And they couldn't see the truth.
Amen.
Right?
Right. Right.
But when it comes to the spiritual side of things and the church, look, we know that the church, truthfully, individually, we have some ugliness in us. There's some things that God had to deal with us. Sometimes we don't even want to remember it, do we? The only time we want to think about it and remember it is because we're so thankful for the grace of God. But when we give Him that glory,
in that grace, people see something beautiful. And that's what it's about, church. It's about people seeing something beautiful, not from the outside. Not from the outside. See, why are you preaching this so hard? Because I'm tired of the church in America being image driven. And it's time that we become so spiritual that the Holy Ghost leads us. That's our goal here. We want the presence of God to lead us. We want the presence of God to go before us. We want people to see the power and the presence and the authority of Jesus Christ in us. Not just some image driven, I'm trendy, I look cool. Church. There's lots of things that we could do and you all would leave. Because you're godly people. You're God-fearing people. You want the power of God to fall in this place. And you all would leave and we would get a big crowd. And we could pat ourselves on the back because we would say we have a big bank account and all this and that and the other. All the while, people dying and going to hell. And we ain't doing anything to change that. That's not what we want here. We want the power of God to flow through us. We want to reach people. And that's why this year we have been so adamant. Look, you come here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and you sit in these chairs to get refilled, refueled, restored, refreshed. Why? Because when you leave out those doors right there, you're entering the battlefield and you're fighting for people's souls. That's what we're about. And we want to be the virtuous bride of Christ that all see the glorious image of Christ through us. Amen. Now I'm excited about what we're getting ready to venture into because this is going to be a different target season. We've been doing this for well over 20 years. I remember when we started this. That's how long I've been around. We've been trying to make an impact on our community and I believe we have been. But I believe that God's stepping it up a notch in us this year. Because here is the oracle, the prophecy, the burden of the Lord to the Lighthouse. Is that these target services that we're getting ready to move into, they're not another church service for you to go and enjoy. Matter of fact, it isn't even about you at all. Yep. You're going to have to give up a Wednesday night. Every other Wednesday night ain't going to be about you at all. And if you show up and you think it's about you, you might have a pastor steal your lawn chair. Because you're going to sit like a bump on a log and think you're going to well, this is pretty cool. I get to eat a hot dog while I'm at church. That's not what it's about. Not at all. It's about making sure Jesus Christ is praised in the gates of our city. It's about reaching people who don't know Him. It's about being in the triangle of three bars, and we're right in the middle of it. I love it. And they come out of those bars, and they listen. We've even had some of them sing sometimes. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. I'll never forget that. We let them sing. We're there to minister to people. We're there to love people. And we're right there at Hometown Market, IGA, whatever you want to call it. Some of you all know it by Foodland. You're showing your age if you call it Foodland. People get out of there and they stop at their car and they think they're hiding. And they're listening. And they're watching. Sometimes they'll even run into people. Oh, I'm sorry. Because they're listening to what God's doing up there. They're scared to come over. So guess what we're going to do this year? We're going to go get them. Hey! Hey, Joe! He ain't talking to me, is he? I better hurry up and get in the store. I seen you watching. Come on over and join us. You know somebody that slows down for a minute, even if they're in their car and they slow down. Go run alongside of them. Be like a Philip and join yourself to their chariot. Hey, pull on in here. We're having ourselves a good time. See, I'm being a little funny. Yeah, but I mean it.
Let's go up there being intentional that we're there to love on people and minister to them. You realize that there's some nights on hot summer nights that some kids come up there at bicycles, and I know they can be annoying. Oh, they're trying to run the old folks over, the bicycles are trying, but do you realize that that was their meal that they got that night? Mom and dad wasn't home. They didn't have nothing to eat. But we gave them something to eat. But they also got more than that. Because at the message of Jesus Christ, while they were chomping on that hot dog or whatever we served that night. It's what it's about, church. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might save some. I want to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody because somebody is going to hear it. Let's be the virtuous church. The people see us and they can't talk bad about us. Even when they want to. The only thing they can say about us is, you know, that group of people, they're just crazy. They love Jesus so much. I don't understand it. And I've tried to find error in them. I've tried to find, you know, I've had people checking up on me before. I have. I had one guy that I went to school with his son. So he knows me really well. We were in football and wrestled together. And he come up to me and says, you know, you got people checking on you, Pastor Joe. He calls me Pastor Joe. I said, really? He said, yeah. They said, you know that guy out there? I said, yeah, actually I do. He went to school with my son. What do you think about him? Well, he's a pretty good guy. I got nothing bad to say. Hallelujah. He must not know me as well as I know me. Right? But what's the point? The point is that we reflect the image of Jesus to the world around us. Not just at Target. That's an opportunity for us to do it collectively as the church. But everywhere we go and everything we do, we bear the name of Jesus. In our tradition, in our society, the wife takes the name of the husband. She bears that name. Now, that name is affected by her actions. It's the same for us. We bear the name of Christ. And what we do reflects on Jesus. Will we be the virtuous church that God's called us to be? Will we love people? Will we care for them? Will we care for our family? Will we make sure that they're provided for? Will we work diligently? Will we keep the light on at night because we're still getting after it? Stand to your feet if you would, please. Darling, if you come to the piano. My prayer is you got something out of this. Even if you were a man this morning, you got something out of this. Word. But especially you women, I want to encourage you. I really, really want to encourage you to take courage, to stand up for yourself, to fight the good fight of faith, and know that God has you. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let society dictate to you what your worth is, what your value is. Do not let anybody objectify you. That's not why you exist. You exist because you, in your presence and in all the giftings that God's put inside of you, you bring glory to Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word that teaches us so much. God, I pray that you would help us to continue to walk in this word this morning. I thank you for so many virtuous women in my life that have taught me and shown me the way and have spoken the word of God in my life. And many of the people here have different people like that in their lives, and we're grateful for them. We thank God for them. Now, God, I pray right now for the women in this community, the women in this place right now, that you would stir up a boldness inside of them. I come against insecurity right now that would try to hold them back and make them feel lesser than because of something that was pronounced over them while they were little girls. I speak healing into those that their innocence was stolen early because of the way that they were treated by men who should have loved them and cared for them. I speak healing into them right now in the name of Jesus. Speak healing into every married woman's heart that may have been mistreated by her husband in any way. That she won't allow that to affect her future and how she moves forward because she knows she's secure in her heavenly husband, Jesus Christ. I pray for marriages right now that you'll strengthen us, make them stronger. I pray for moms right now as they raise their children in this generation that you will give them the knowledge and the wisdom that you have, God, that they will understand things and see things. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to give them discernment in areas. They're going to call those things out. And they're going to declare the word of the Lord to their kids. I thank you for that right now. I thank you for spiritual mothers. Maybe they don't even have biological children, but they have an impact on the kids in this community or family members. Lord, I thank you that they are going to speak forth your word. Now, God, I thank you for your church, which is your bride. I thank you that you are causing us to be virtuous, to be holy, to reflect the image of you, and to bear your name in this earth. I pray blessing right now upon your church. I pray a boldness come over us. Let us be strong and very courageous to go and do the work you've called us to do in this hour. And I thank you, God, for the harvest right now. I thank you for the harvest of souls right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I invite you, if you want to respond in an altar call, I want to give you an invitation. If you feel like you need to fall on your face before God and pray, maybe God's dealing with some things in your heart. Come and just give that to the Lord right now. Submit it to God. Maybe you need prayer and you didn't come up earlier. Come and I'll pray with you. I believe God will move in your life and heal you, bless you. Maybe you have someone on your heart that you need to pray for. But as Pastor Alicia begins to sing, I just want to give an opportunity for you to come forward. And the last thing I want to invite you to do is maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. And the things that you've heard taught and preached this morning, it stirred your heart. Say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. That's who I want to be. I want to change the trajectory of my life and the future of my family's life. Then please come down. We will rejoice with you. We will pray with you. We will love on you. We'll be so excited that God is doing something in your life. But come, please be welcome and come and receive what God has for you this morning.